And in terms of God, it's vital that we know we're His child and that we're secure in that status as His children, and also know that He treats us fairly in the way we live the Christian life, and that He will be fair with us at the judgment seat of Christ when our lives are evaluated.
What's the difference in being approved and being accepted? And how does that relate to being a child of God? Welcome to Grace in Focus from Grace Evangelical Society. My name is Lucas Kitchen, and I hope you'll join us every weekday at this same time. Our series this month is Confident in Christ. This is also the title of a book written by discussion leader Bob Wilkin. I would love for you to learn more about who we are and why we're here. I'll talk more about that at the end of today's broadcast. But for now, let's jump right into the discussion with Bob and Sean. Here is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, my name is Bob Wilkin.
You know, we want to make sure that everybody listening to us has assurance of salvation. Jesus promised everlasting life to believers, and He wants you to know that you have it, not because of who you are or what you've done, but because He's promised it. But a lot of people have doubts about their salvation. They have questions about their assurance. And that can really impact negatively your Christian living. If you don't know that you have salvation, that's not a positive thing for your Christian life. That's a negative thing. Isn't that right, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. You know, a lot of people think if you lack assurance, that spurs you on to serve God. But the truth is, if you have assurance, it spurs you on to serve God.
Think about a child in a family. Are they going to be more secure doubting that their parents love them or knowing that their parents love them?
Absolutely, knowing that their parents love them. I grew up in an alcoholic family, and in my family, everything was very dysfunctional. And this created lots of hardship for me because I really wasn't secure in my family environment. People who grow up in a non-dysfunctional home, however, can bask in their parents' love, and they know their parents' love is going to be steady, and they know that the rules and regulations in the home make sense, and discipline will make sense, and everything else. And in terms of God, it's vital that we know we're His child, and that we're secure in that status as His children, and also know that He treats us fairly in the way we live the Christian life, and that He will be fair with us at the judgment seat of Christ when our lives are evaluated. So it's vitally important that we have a good view of God, because if we don't have assurance, it ultimately leads to a bad view of God.
Yeah, that's right, because it reflects on His character. I mean, what do we think about parents who openly tell their children, "I'm not sure I love you today. I'm not sure that you're my child. You're going to have to prove it." Is that a good relationship?
I mean, if the parent said, "I'm not sure you're my child and I may be taking you to the orphanage," I mean, that's not likely to spur on the child to do their best. I remember when I was in kindergarten, I had this teacher who was rather abusive with me. She forced me to sit in my seat, taped my mouth shut, all kinds of things. And then in first grade, I had a teacher named Mrs. Lamb. Mrs. Lamb was much older. This other teacher was probably 25 or something. Mrs. Lamb was like 60. And she was just this wonderful woman. And she would put us in her lap and she would give us like a candy bar if we read a book. I must have read 30 books that year because not so much I wanted the chocolate, I wanted her love and approval. It changed my whole experience of school when I found a teacher that believed in me and that I was secure in her love. When I ultimately, at age 20, when I was a senior in college, learned that by faith in Jesus, I have everlasting life and that I'm secure in Him and that He loves me and accepts me and He's never going to reject me, it had the same powerful impact, except this was everlasting.
God wants you to have assurance that you are born again, that you are justified, that you are saved. But now, once you are born again, after that, the real challenge begins. The Christian life begins. That requires a different type of assurance. Assurance of salvation is not the same as assurance of your service or assurance of your discipleship. Can you say something about that, Bob?
Yeah, I think it's vitally important for us to recognize we are to evaluate our lives and how we're doing for Christ, not to determine if we're born again, but to determine if we are walking faithfully with Christ. In fact, the passage we're going to look at today, 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 7, is directly dealing with that subject.
Well, let me read that passage for you here today. I'm reading from the New King James Version, starting at verse 5 in 2 Corinthians 13. It says this, Paul is writing, and he says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified." What is Paul talking about there?
Okay, there's a repetition. You'll notice the word disqualified, the words examine yourselves, test yourselves, the word approved. All of those are the Greek words dokimos and dokimazo, and they relate to the approval that a believer can have if we're walking with Christ. And so the issue here is not whether the readers were born again, it's were the readers approved by Christ.
Okay, so he's not saying test yourself to see if you're born again. Test yourself if you really believed and Jesus gave you eternal life. He's saying test yourself for some other reason. Test yourself if you're actually living up to the faith that you're supposed to believe in.
Absolutely. In fact, in Greek, the first word is yourself. Mm-hmm. Yourself examine. And if you look up earlier in the context, in verses 1 through 4, the Corinthians were challenging Paul. And if you look, for example, at verse 3, "You seek a proof of Christ speaking in me." Well, they were questioning whether Paul was really an apostle. Does Christ really speak through the Apostle Paul? Is he really an apostle? What Paul says in verse 5 is, wait a minute, turn that around. Instead of examining me, yourselves examine. Instead of looking to see if I speak for Christ, let's look to see, do you speak for Christ? Test yourself to see if you're in the faith means in your experience.
So what does in the faith mean? Does that mean like that you've initially believed? Or what is he talking about there? What's in the faith?
No, the term the faith often is used in Scripture to refer to the body of truth which we believe as believers, and it also refers sometimes to our walk with Christ. Here it refers to both. Are you a person who's abiding in sound doctrine? Are you a person who is abiding in Christ? And so the question is not, is Paul speaking for God? Are they people who are in fellowship with God? That's what's going on here.
So Paul's asking them, listen, you know the truth, but are you really living your life in accordance with what you know to be the right thing?
Right. And in fact, when he goes on to say, do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? He doesn't mean positionally. He means in your experience. Is Christ involved in what you're doing? Now, everybody who's read the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians knows this wasn't exactly the model first century church.
Right. Paul accused them of all kinds of sexual shenanigans and disrespecting the Lord's Supper, and they were even getting sick and dying because of their rebellion.
1 Corinthians 11:30, and there was a Greek word, basically it translates to Corinthianize. Corinth was such an immoral city in the Roman Empire, their sexual perversion was much greater than in the rest of the Roman Empire. And so when Paul says, know if Christ is in you, he's talking about in their experience, unless indeed you are disqualified. This word disqualified is the Greek word adokimos. It's used by Paul of himself in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He says, I discipline my body and bring into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself might become adokimos, disqualified. Dokimos means approved. And so I would say disapproval is what adokimos is talking about. Paul is saying, I don't know if Christ is going to approve of me at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's the issue here.
Now, you might be wondering, what does it mean to be disapproved? If I've believed in Jesus, I have everlasting life. What is there to approve or disapprove of? What's on the line here?
For those of you who are familiar with Awana Children's Ministry, Awana stands for Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed. The word approved is a Greek word dokimos, and Awana comes from 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself an approved workman. it's not automatic that a believer is an approved workman. In order for Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant, which is what he will do for the approved workman, we must be diligent. That can either be translated, be diligent or study. And so we need to persevere in our walk with Christ in order to one day be approved.
So basically you're saying there's a difference between God's love and his approval. He loves everyone, but he doesn't approve of everyone. He loves you, but he doesn't approve of everything that you've done or do.
Yeah, I like to use the words accept and approve. God accepts everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in his family. They have everlasting life. They'll never perish. They'll never hunger. They'll never thirst. They'll never die. All of these statements are found in Jesus' teaching. But acceptance is not the same as approval. I remember lots of stories of celebrities where they had children that were wayward. With these wayward children, they would say, I love my child. I accept my child no matter what they do. But I do not approve of the way my child is living. God says that about his own children. He loves us, he accepts us, but he is only going to approve of us if we are walking in the Christian faith.
So Paul is really thinking eschatologically here. That means looking towards the future, looking towards the end times, because Christians will come under a judgment, a form of judgment in the future that Paul calls the judgment seat of Christ. And that judgment isn't going to be to decide your eternal destiny. What it's going to decide is your level of reward in the next life.
Absolutely. In fact, earlier in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 5, Paul went through that. In chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, he says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so, self-examination has a place in the Christian life. Yes, we do examine ourselves to see if we're abiding in the faith, to see if Christ is in our experience. But we are not to examine ourselves to see if we are born again. That leads to morbid introspection. That leads to doubt, not faith. We know we're secure because we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. However, in order to have his approval, we must abide in him so that one day when he appears, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you so much, Sean and Bob, for describing, comparing, and contrasting God's approval and God's acceptance. It's so helpful to understand the difference and that we can have assurance about our eternal salvation simply by believing in Christ. This is Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. We hope that you'll make a daily habit to join us at this same time, Monday through Friday. We'd love to interact with you, and our goal is for you to know us better as well. Please take a moment to visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You can sign up for our bi-monthly free magazine. It's called Grace in Focus. There's no cost or obligation. It is absolutely free. We look forward to meeting with you again next time when our conversation will be about the broader topic of assurance, but we'll specifically be centering on the place of feelings in assurance. We wish you all the best, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.